Hey guys, what's up? It's Simone.
Hey guys, it's Jay.
And welcome to the Dating Game Podcast. Yay. We're recording this on a Monday, so I feel like it's only fair to ask how your weekend was, Jay.
It was lovely. It was really, really nice. A lot of eating. Great. Went to this really nice restaurant. Restaurant / cafe in Luton, which was nice, really, really nice. Had a nice breakfast there.
Nice restaurant in Luton in the same sentence. So that's why it's a kind of like a bit of a phenomenon for us.
No, calm down.
You said it yourself. It's unusual that it was so nice. It was unusual for Luton.
I don't want to tell the world that, though.
Sorry. Yeah, we have to use our platform wisely. Sorry, guys. I'm saluting.
So that was nice. And then I went with a friend on Saturday night to Granger & Co., which was nice. And then we went to this bar called The Double Standard, and it was so nice. I don't know if anybody's been to that bar, but it's like a 70 vibe. There's a fire. This is my kind of vibe. Like, being so close to the fire, because I'm always cold, I like to be hot, I was just chilling. And my friend was like, you're smiling so much. I was like, this is my vibe. This is what I like. Cocktails and heat and fire. Bloody hell, like, this is what I want. And literally, I was just so happy. It was just such a cool kind of vibe. So it's definitely like date night, like friends for catch up. It's like part of a hotel. It was really nice, really, really good vibes. And then yesterday it was completely chilled. What about you, Simone?
Oh, that sounds lovely. My weekend was all right as well. I went away. I went to the coast for work, for a job. It was lovely. I didn't see any of the coast, though. That was not very lovely, but it's quite cold. It's cold time of the year, so I don't know if I would have been able to bear it anyway. But it was nice. I had a really good time. It was a wedding, so it was like a really just lovely, love-filled day. Lots of really good people. I felt like I was like putting into practice all the things we talked about going like to your wedding single. So I was so aware of things like the seating plan, where they put single people, and like where they like splitting up couples. I think at one point they tried to do like couples. Some couples were together next to each other. Some couples were opposite, but didn't like that. They wanted to be next to their partner, like all those kinds of things, where they put the single people, like that, that and the other. But it was lovely. It was like a really, really lovely day. And it was a lovely weekend. And then I went out on Sunday, went to like a little day party thing, which was fun. I haven't really been out like that properly, you know. And I did feel quite uncomfortable, like there's a lot of bodies close together. And I thought of COVID, but I wasn't worried about COVID, but I just definitely felt uncomfortable with so many people in my space. Like I hadn't had that for a long time. I don't know if you find that or if you find when you're talking to someone and someone gets really close, I know you're quite funny about those kinds of things anyway, but when someone gets really close to you, I just feel even more aware of it than I used to. It's just because you get so used to like social distancing, don't you?
Yeah. Well, did you get people chatting you up? Did you get any numbers?
Do you know what? I didn't get any numbers, but I was chatting to this guy, tried it with me, but it was weird. Because I wasn't in the mood. I was going through one of those days. I just had one of those days where I'm getting dressed and I'm just like, oh, just get these clothes off of me. I just don't want to go. Like one of those things. And I was trying on different things. The dress I wanted to wear wasn't really happening. So I took that off, had to plan a new outfit last minute, and everything I put on, I just wanted to rip it off and just go back to bed in my pajamas. Like I was just having one of those days. So when I went out, I just wasn't really in that mindset. You know, when you sometimes you go out and you feel sexy and then you get all that, you know, all that natural attraction is there. But I just felt so introverted in myself that I wasn't really looking at that. So yeah, I had like one guy like was dancing with me and like was like chatting to me, but I just didn't really entertain it. So Yeah. But I was out for a friend's birthday, so it was all about her anyway, so that was kind of where I was.
There you was, yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? But just going back to the COVID thing, actually, that you just get more aware. You're just more aware of what's going on. But I like to point out that I've always been like this. I've always been people coughing. I've always been like this. So when people are like, oh, you know, coughing is, I'm like, I've been doing it from day. I don't like people breathing over me. I don't like that. Like this is how COVID is now with masks. I'm happy to walk through with a mask. And you know what? I realize I'm the only one with the mask now. But I'm happy to do it because people are nasty. People are
They are.
nasty people.
Yeah, they
Even
are.
when we go on the tube, I don't ever hold on to the railings. Never. Even when they say, oh, hold tight, mate, I'm holding on to someone's elbow. I'm not holding on to that thing. I'm not
Yeah.
doing it.
No, you have been, or you have always been really, really good at that. I admit, like, I'm not the best mask wearer at all. And I was having this conversation with someone the other day because they were like, you know, all you got to do is wear your mask for 20 minutes on the tube or 20 minutes on the bus. Like, what's wrong with you? And I just hate having to get it out and put it on and
Yeah.
then get a new one every time. And it's like, oh, it's just so long.
Yeah. It ruins your makeup though, because every time I like to wear bright red makeup, bright red lipstick, and it literally just smudges all over my, it looks like I've been kissing somebody, like it's all over my chin.
Oh
I'm like, oh
no.
God, it is quite bad actually. That's the only thing with masks.
Do you wear the medical ones or do you have the fabric ones?
Medical, but what I do is I kind of puff it away from me. Like you could like almost have it like just flat on your face, which obviously defeats the purpose, but you can have it flat. So it doesn't keep as much like air when you're breathing in and out. The fabric ones, I feel like it's a little bit worse actually, because you're moving around. It's like literally smothering it in your
But then
chin.
the medical ones, if you leave it flat, then it's going to smudge because it's supposed to fit around your face.
Yeah, like puff. When I say puff, I mean like I can't explain. I've got one here, just
Yeah.
like that. Like it's not really touching. But what
Oh.
happens when you go on the tube? Obviously, you'll breathe. It's hot. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't
Yeah.
work.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a
Maybe
lot.
I need one of those. What they're called?
Shields, face shields.
Shields. That's what I need, is a shield. Maybe I need to get that. That's a good point, actually. When I'm
And
going out, shield.
bedazzle it,
That's what I
bedazzle
need. That's what I need.
Yeah. All right,
Yes.
cool.
Yeah, so today, I think the topic, well, we have a bunch of topics to look through, you know, when it comes to this podcast. And there's one that has been there for a while. Well, you've changed it a little bit, Simone, but I'm going to talk about why. So basically, ages ago, I saw an article about dating apps. And I saw a stat saying that black women are the least to be chosen or to be picked or matched with. And then I know, Simone, you just looked at one. You said that an article said that black women are the least to be matched, but also South Asian men too. Is it South Asian?
No, just Asian men.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Asian men across the board, yeah.
Okay. Asian men then as well. So I think it's, I don't know how we're going to start this. I feel a bit like, I don't know what to say, which is weird for me because I've always got something to say.
I
I don't know
mean,
how to start this off.
yeah, there's no surprise, I suppose. I mean, you hear that stat and then, you know, I don't know, maybe if someone else will be different, but for me, I'm like, okay, right, cool, because sounds terrible, but we are used to hearing that black women are the least desirable of all kind of like ethnic groups. And some of us would have experienced that firsthand. Some of us have experienced that rejection from both black men and from non-black men. But some of us ne have never. Some of us, it's never been a thing. You are in spaces, you are chatted up, you're looked at, you still date, you have relationships. You don't have any harder of a time than anybody else as far as you're concerned. If anything, you might have experienced some colorism in your time, but perhaps not just you haven't experienced being rejected. But what this articles that I was reading up on today, they were saying that a lot of us haven't experienced that until going on dating apps, because on dating apps you have the option to filter, to swipe left and right, you have the option to not reply when someone has spoken to you. So if you are, for example, on Bumble, no, Bumble's different because you both have to match, don't you? But let's just say like any dating app, you might not get a response, or you might get a really derogatory message from someone saying, oh, you know, you're gorgeous for a black woman, or I've never effed a black woman before, oh, you'll do, like that, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I know from my experience that I was part of that group of, I never really experienced feeling less desirable, at least in my adult years. You know, I've been in white spaces, I've been in black spaces, I've been in multicultural spaces, and, you know, I've just always kind of gotten by. But then when I started doing the online dating thing, my first online dating platform was Tinder. Mm-hmm. And it was Plenty of Fish shortly afterwards. And that's when I got those, like, you know, really horrible remarks like, oh, your skin must be so smooth. Oh, I would love to fuck a black ass, and like really horrible things. And it really made me look at dating differently as a black woman. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of different ethnic groups will experience the same kind of stereotypes that make it really uncomfortable for you. And I think that is kind of what it's really about. It's about being rejected, but also about facing stereotypes in dating that make the whole dating process really uncomfortable.
Wow, so that's a lot there. I think, do you think it's because we are only 2% of the population? Is it? Do you think it's because of that, and that we won't be first choice because we are less anyways? We're a minority. So there's nothing to do about being desirable. It's about the portion that we are.
So this is the interesting thing. So there is a book apparently that talks about preferences in dating, and a lot of times preferences are stemmed around what you're used to, the faces that you're used to seeing, and faces that are familiar to you. You feel attracted to faces that you see all the time. So of course, if you've grown up around white people all the time, then you will be more attracted to a white person. Or if your whole family's black, then you'll be more attracted to a black person. So I don't think preferences are necessarily, it's not as straightforward as they're a good or a bad thing. But preferences are very much dependent upon, or how you view preferences are very much dependent upon your race and your gender. You know, I think that, let me have a look at this quote that I was reading actually, because I think it summed it up really well. So it says preferences have different meanings depending on where you are located in the racial and gender hierarchy, a desirability hierarchy, as well as within online dating. And then it says here that a white man saying he only wants to be with white women because he only likes light skin and light eyes is different from a black woman who prefers men of color because she wants to avoid fetish seeking matches and racist messages. So it's kind of like, it kind of depends on your reasoning behind it. And I think that's mainly the issue that we have with preferences, right? It's like, you can say, oh, my preference is mixed race women with curly hair. That's fine. But if you unpack your preference, and your preference is because you don't really, because you find that dark skinned women like your mum and your sister, or like other people to you, are ugly, or they make you feel less worthy in social status, or this, that, and the other, then that unpacks a different thing. And then that matches you with your preference. So it's kind of about unpacking what your preference is and why it is, which is why, you know, going back to talking about dating different cultures, my whole thing is, if you say, oh, I just like to date black women, that's fine. But let's unpack why. Why is it? Is it because you associate black women with being feisty, or with having big asses that you can slap during sex? Or is it because you just like, you find black women beautiful and you would like to find a woman who fits your type but also happens to be black? It's just, you have to unpack those preferences.
My thing would be, you just said now that if a person says, I only date black women, we have to unpack that. But why? Why do we need to unpack? It's just his type. Why do we need to unpack that?
I think for me, I feel like we have to unpack it because I want to make sure that it's not coming from a place of racism or it's not coming from a place of stereotyping. And that is always going to be the fear for me. That is, and you know, good or bad, that's just going to be the fear that I have. I just want to make sure that you're genuine and that you're not kind of coming from a place where a derogatory remark might just slip out by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, and the fetishness, I guess, like, I guess if they are it's hard to distinguish if it's a fetish or not versus not. But that would be for me. So if somebody said, I only date black women, I think the first thing in my head would be, is it, I know it sounds really bad to say this, but is it because you just want to try, you know, you just want to try somebody that's that looks different to you. Mm. But even if that is the case, black women being low on the spectrum is still bad. I mean, like, you know, fetish or not, we're still quite low anyway. And I don't know, when I hear that, I do feel like, oh God, like that's terrible. Mm. I don't know about you, but I don't know, what was your first reaction to this?
I think, like I said, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't shocked. I wasn't horrified. I was just like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Like, I in terms of, it doesn't make sense, but in terms of, I'm expecting to see that. I'm expecting to see those stats. I think I would feel more hurt if it affected me in my dating life. But I think I've gotten to a place where you know, I've always say I like who likes me, like, and I don't care.
It's interesting that you have only seen it, not in a rude way, but only for yourself. I don't see it as just for me, because I was going to say, when you were talking, I was going to say in my head, like, I wish I got like filtered, because sometimes the messages that I get would be too much. But I don't want to say it in a boastful way, but I'm just saying to you. Mm-hmm. But when I hear that stat, I don't see it as me. I see it as the whole of my people. Then it drills down to the granular detail, like, oh, this person's single, this person's still single, they used it. So I'm thinking about everybody, and that's why I get a bit like, oh, I'm not really happy with that. But then it almost reflects what I see, which is bad, but it kind of does,
in the sense that you see that your black friends are single, more single than your white friends.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So I see it as I just don't get it. I wonder if it's the same for America. Are there stats for the UK or
no? These are American stats.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're American stats, but I think a lot of the articles are American, but they use stats from global dating apps. Okay. So I don't know if it's just you. It probably is just America, but I think the same could be said for the UK.
Yeah, and it would be interesting to also see the granular details. Is it black only matching with black, or is it because there's not enough black men, maybe, you know, going on there? Or I would like to see, obviously I probably won't ever see those granular details, but it would be interesting to see all those details, because that is like bam, but really we don't know more about it. Like, if it was 80% white people go on these apps, then I'll be like, okay, I get it now. it's like that 100 hottest women in the world. It was always white, but who's voting? Obviously, I know it defeats the purpose, because we're still saying that we're still not as you know, attractive as to a white person or person of not of color. But I think what I'm trying to say is that it depends on who's voting, who's on these places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of these stats I'm sure are based around people choosing these people interracially, but then, you know, I think like we know, people from other cultures, some other cultures are more likely to date interracially than other cultures. That makes sense. So yeah, I think we would need to see the full stats is basically what I'm saying. This article's from Independent UK, and it's talking about racism on online dating. There's a black woman who's talking about, who said a man said to her, he just wants to get involved, he just wants to get with me to get a taste of jungle fever. That's what she heard.
That's so old-fashioned.
She's received messages such as, you look like a dominant black queen, I have such a thing for chocolate. And not everybody takes this as racism, though. Because
I don't think that chocolate one's a remark.
People say chocolate as well, don't they? And I always feel uncomfortable when they do that. Do you?
No, I'm like, yeah, chocolate is edible, it's nice, it's sweet. I don't see it as bad at all. No way. Not chocolate. That's nice.
Yeah. It says this form of racial judgment is complex, mostly because it's often conflated with supposedly positive portrayals of blackness, otherwise known as positive racism, which is interesting. And I think that's it, because not everybody will see those things as being a negative thing, because I'm going for you because you have chocolate, because I want jungle fever, because of your I find you sexy and this and the other. But the issue is that it is getting confused with, you know, stereotypes that we're trying to ultimately move away from. And nobody wants to be fetishized. Nobody wants to not nobody, maybe some people, but a lot of people don't really want to get involved with someone because for their one sole physical feature.
I just think that we're all going to danger of being quite defensive when it comes to some comments. I mean, like, if somebody says, oh, you've got beautiful chocolate skin, I'm not going to say, oh my God, like, you're being racist. I'm never going to think that. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, I have. Thank you. That's what I would say. I think, if it's something like, I haven't been with a black woman and I want to do something to her, yeah, of course, that is to, you want to, you're fetishizing, you're in the hope of, like, just trying, you know, and experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that some of it could be just a compliment. Like, it just could be like, oh, I just like black women. Because it's interesting, because even if you go into anything, because you're like, oh, I really like you for your blue eyes. Does that mean we're fetishizing over that? Like, I don't know. I think that they might be just attracted to blue eyes. Like, you know, I don't know. To say, I think there's a fine line. I think we take things too far, because people might say, oh, he only likes people with blue eyes, we only likes blonde girls. But so if he does, what are we meant to do?
Yeah, but it's still a fetish. Let's be real. You know, if we talk about, you know, the men who only go for people with blonde hair, and that means that every blonde person that walks past, they're like Googling eyes them. That's a fetish. It's still the same.
Okay, but what's the difference between fetish and type then?
We've discussed this already. Again, I think that fetish is when you see, is when you only see that physical feature as your priority thing. And I think that, you know, like, you know, for example, if you're like, I only date guys that are 6'2" and up, and every guy that's 6'2" and up, you're looking at him, that's a fetish. Whereas if it's like, no, you're a nice guy and you happen to be 6'2" and up, or whatever, you happen to have blue eyes, or you happen to have black hair, then it's a little bit different. That's it. Because fetishizing is the concept of itemizing something and then looking at it for that one item and obsessing over that one item. So it's like you're no longer a person, you're just this one physical feature that you have.
Fair enough. Okay, fine. If you're just going to, like you said, zoom in on that and focus on that. But what I'm saying is that when we're together, there's many times we're like, yeah, we want our dark chocolate, yeah, dark men. We've said this many times, and not in a video, but when somebody walks through the club, if I see a dark-skinned guy, I'm going to look, regardless if I'm attracted to him or not, because that's my type. So I think I get what you're saying, but at the same time, unless somebody's saying, I go up to him and say, I want you because you're dark skin, that fine, that is a fetish. But I have to, in order for me to know if I'm attracted to you, if I get lustful feelings because of that, because you're my type, then that's the initial conversation, not conversation start, but the initial attraction, right? And then everything else comes after, I think, in some ways.
Well, that's fair enough. If that's how you see it, that's absolutely fair enough. I think let's go back to online dating for a second, because I think the fact is that when you are online, it's a lot easier for you to select what you like. It's a lot easier for you to select your preferences, to select your filter. It's also a lot easier for you to be anonymized, so then you can make these remarks. So a lot of times when people are saying they've experienced these things and these comments and these messages, it's usually for the first time, because in the real world nobody would dare say that to you, or at least not in the first meeting. But people can get away with saying black women only, or white women only, or I love your black ass, or I like da da da. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. People can get away with that, and I think for me, I just feel that it's because you can go onto this platform and you can block and delete your profile, and then you'll never have to see that person again if you say something that they don't like. And that's part of the issue. There's no accountability.
Yes, you're right. I mean, yeah. And that's why I guess when we had the guy on, he was like, keep everything on the app. So I guess this can be recorded, traced in the worst case scenario, in terms of if you have abuse, you can block everything, everybody, whatever. Because for me, when I was younger, and I was kind of aware of fetish, the guys that will fetishize over black women. I remember you mentioned it a few times, and that kind of made me think, okay, I need to be aware of these people. But whenever I did find out that they were people that are kind of was fetishizing over black women, it was when I was offline, out of the app, and I used to take it onto WhatsApp. And then it was like block and delete. They'll say some mean things or abusive things, and then block and delete. So yeah, I get that. I understand that. So yeah, I don't know. I just feel, yeah, you can't, I don't know, how do you think that, I don't know, it's a weird topic, isn't it? Because I was going to say, how do you think that we can be, do you think doing all these adverts and advertising about saying that black women are on these apps, do you think it will help maybe bring our profile up, or do you think it's no bother? Because obviously you see people like ZZ Mills, other people now promoting that they're part of Bumble. Do you think it's helping? Like, do you think it's on purpose? Like, yeah,
it's definitely deliberate. I think that's one of the things that they're trying to do, is to, like, you know, we said about familiarity, and if you are associate these apps with one type of person, then when you go on there and you see other types of people, then you're not seeing the familiar faces that you're used to. And that can cause a problem. So they are trying to diversify the fact that these apps are also for different people, different ethnic groups. I don't know. I mean, you know more than I do how powerful marketing is and advertising, and I'm sure it would work. But I think that it's just so much deeper rooted than that. I think it's encouraging, and yes, it is. It's showing people that, you know, we need to allow for diversity in our lives. But it's so deep rooted. You know, how do you get someone from... How do you stop someone from saying derogatory things? How do you stop someone from thinking derogatory things? That's a little bit harder to tackle. But I think that, you know, I think the whole preferences thing, like the filtering down, I love a good filter. I love getting straight to the point. And like I said, that helps me to find people that like me, as well as I like them. And it just kind of gets that whole like sieving process out of the way. So I don't need to ask you to smoke, because I put, you don't smoke in here, so it's fine. I know not everybody agrees with filters. What do you think?
So just to clarify, on Hinge, I can't remember, you can actually say black, white. Yeah, you can say your preference for free. You don't have to pay more, do you? That's pay more, no. Not on Hinge, I don't think we do, no.
You don't. You have to pay for something, though. What is it?
It's height.
Is it?
Yeah.
So some oh, you checked, yeah. for some things you have to pay extra for.
Yes, or yeah, you have to pay extra, or it's unlocked or not. I don't know. I think, yeah, that's what I can remember.
Or is it also deal breakers? Something to do with deal breakers.
That's
you can
it,
only have a certain number of deal breakers, but if you get the premium, then you can have more.
You could unlock more, something like that. And I think, yeah, that's it. So, yeah, I agree with filters because, again, it goes back down to what you like. I mean, I don't know. I remember once Channel 4, I think, did a dating, you know, I don't know, documentary, and they had people like to, obviously, you know, they blinded everybody and they had a conversation, kind of like Love is Blind. And they spoke, and then this guy was actually attracted to the girl, and she was of a different ethnicity. And at the end, he was just like, oh, I didn't think she was black. I just thought, you know, I was having a good vibe. And it's interesting, obviously, going back to the app, you can see, like, you know, obviously face to face is different, but you have mannerisms, you have body language, you have different, you know, expressions, whatever. But on the app, you were literally seeing that person's picture. So I think it's okay, you should have filters, because, you know, just for freedom of thought of what you want to do, what you're attracted to. But at the same time, it is a bit dangerous, because you are literally, you could be cutting off the love of your life to some extent, or something that matches with you perfectly, but you're basing that on race. So before I came off the app, I did open it up to everybody. So I was quite intrigued. I thought, oh, let me see how many people actually like me that are from a different race. And it wasn't many guys, so it wasn't many from white, so I don't know, from the white side, so I don't know. Have you done that before?
What?
Have you opened up to, you obviously have, opened up to everybody.
Yeah, my profile was open for a really long time. It was open to all.
To everybody?
Yeah, to everyone, open to all. You know, I said I'm open-minded. I'm always like, just see what's out there. Or I try to be open-minded, but yeah, I just like to see what's out there, and yeah, see who's interested in me and see what they have to offer, mm-hmm. and this, that, and the other. And yeah, I've been on a few, I've chatted to a few guys that haven't been black. And yeah, but then I did realize after I went on this date with, the Spanish guy, and I realized that actually I'm not in the mental space to sort of take on the whole education role. I went back to like narrowing it down, and I narrowed it down only not to just black guys before. I just narrowed it down to a few other groups. But yeah, but I mean, the good thing about that is that, I don't know, like you don't get the horrible remarks. I think that's the one thing about like Plenty of Fish is anyone can message you. Well, back in the day, anyone could message you.
Yeah.
And I remember like talking to this army guy, and he was kind of like, yeah, I'm in the barracks for this amount of time, and, you know, let's hook up because I really want to be with a black girl. And that was really scary for me, because I would never have known that, you know, when you're online, you're a lot more open with what you say as well. So if I'd met him out and then he just wanted to try a black girl, that was scary to me. And, you know, I've been out with people who they did turn out to be that way, and it wasn't nice. And I think that's kind of just like put me off a lot from just being, yeah, from that, really.
It's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. But in terms of like racist remarks and that kind of thing, I just think that I just don't experience that anymore. Which is a really great thing. But not every app is like that. People, you know, like on, you know, for gay people, Grindr, I think, is really bad. I've read for people, you know, whites only, or, you know, I like Asian men, or I like Asian this, that, and the other, and that kind of thing. I think you can get a lot of really like crass type messages from people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you got a good point, actually. See, I am opposite. I think I opened it up at the beginning, I'm talking about like when I was 24, 25, that had a mixture of different people fetishizing over black women. And then I filtered it down to black, because that's, again, it's my type. It's, I hate saying that, but it kind of is. I'm attracted to black men. So I filtered it to black men. And then I opened up again, in my, obviously about 6, 7, 8 months ago. The first person I received that was matched with me, he was from Brazil. Do you remember me talking about him?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was going all right. It was going well. It was going all right. And then, like, for about, I would say about a week or 2 weeks. And then he was just like, I want to see your bum. I want to see it. And then that's when I realised, like, yeah, this is what I'm saying. That was the first interaction with somebody non-black. So I think it is fit. I think that's a good point. I think it's making sure that, you know, black women may not be matching because they're fearful of what the response will be. Like, what are you actually here to get from me? What do you want from me? Mm-hmm. And what I was saying earlier is that I just don't, it's sad that it has to come to this, to that, of being fearful because you don't know. But I wouldn't want it to be a blocker for people. I would like people to obviously still be open to it because it's not the only, obviously they're going to get genuine people that are just interested or attracted to black women. Like the person that I'm seeing now, I think he, like I said, he hasn't said, I like black girls. Like that's actually never come out of his mouth. Yeah. I've just identified it from his exes or whatever. Mm. Or whatever he sends me, but I've just thought, oh yeah, you are, but he hasn't actually said I'm omitted. And I just think that to me is somebody that's actually genuinely just, that's their type.
Yeah.
But that's sometimes, it can be a little bit rare sometimes.
Mm. No, I think I think you're right. I think that's a really good point that you make. I think if we feel this way, how many other black women feel fearful of opening their types up to non-black men out of fear of being fetishized and of being abused and of being sexualized. I think that's the worst thing. I think the issue is the stereotype in society is that black women are the sexual playthings that you can, you know, like that woman, you know, that South African woman who was put in a zoo. For, you know, stolen from South Africa and put in a zoo or whatever. And then actually this sounds really, really dumb, right? Obviously I've known about this woman for a long time and I heard that she was put in a zoo, but the naive part of me thought it was just people would look at her and then, you know, oh wow, look at her amazing body. But of course she was used as a prostitute. And I just didn't even think about that. I just didn't think about it. And it wasn't until recently that I was reading something and then it was like, yeah, she used to be she was a sex slave. And that's when I really like deeped it. I was like, yeah, like, of course we can't, not even that. We're always looked at as being these sexual things. And it's not nice because then you don't think that you're worthy of anything more than just sex.
Yes, that's very, very true. And it's even like you can take it to the next level of like when you go on holiday and they're like, Beyonce, give us a twirl, Beyonce. And I'm thinking, first of all, I do not look like Beyonce. I don't want to do that. And second of all, like, why? Obviously, Beyonce is a beautiful person, but I just think, again, there's a little bit elements of sexualization like with that. I just feel like, I don't know, and I feel like even on the dance floor when I used to go out to club, and I just remember it, like the guys looking at you in a certain way. It does make you skinkle because you think, oh, are you actually genuinely liking me, or you just do it because of like what you think in your brain about us or whatever?
Even when you're in white spaces, and they're like, "Can you twerk? Can you twerk?"
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, yes, I can, but it doesn't mean that I want to. Right now for you doesn't mean that, and I don't. I try to think recently, and I was really like caught off guard because it was in the UK. I'm trying to think where it was now. But I just remember being like, huh? Like you guys should know better, guys.
Who's asking you to twerk?
It was a young person. I need to think where this was. I know, because so obviously I was in Italy for a bit, and there was an awkward moment where I actually was like, me and another girl who's mixed race, we would like dance and have the best time of our lives. We would wind up ourselves and everything else. And the next day, everyone was like, oh my gosh, guess what? Simone was twerking. I was like, oh, for goodness sake, like, serves me right, kind of thing. But I kind of expected it from them. But it was in the UK that I was in a space, and then these like, young girls were like, oh, can you twerk for us? Can you twerk for us? And I was like,
twerk for us? Yes. What is this, a show?
Exactly. Exactly. And it used to happen as well when I used to do pole. I mean, it's a pole class that so you'd expect everyone's to work in, but all like the white girls would be like, oh, bet you'll be good at this bit, Simone, bet you'll be good at that, bet you'll be, oh, could you twerk for us, just twerk on the pole. And I'm like, that's not why I'm here, guys. I'm here to get strong, okay? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's okay for people to think, not okay. I think it's not bad if somebody thinks that, okay, you're good at doing something. I think the word twerking gets on my nerves. It's like, not can you dance? It's more like, can you actually move your bum up and down in front of me so I can look at it? That's that. If you actually did it, that's what you're asking me to do. So I don't like that. But I think, I don't know. Yeah, it is wrong. I mean, the other day, I was somewhere and these girls, this woman was attempting to twerk, and then my cousin was like, oh yeah, I can twerk. So she was like, yeah, I can twerk. I was like, okay, cool, you guys go on. And she goes, Jay, they were like, Jay, can you do that? Can you twerk? I'm like, yes, I can, but I'm not going to do it in front of you. But I thought it's funny that they attempt and then they ask you to kind of confirm, like, is this how I'm doing it? Is this right? Like, can you show me the way? And I'm thinking, yeah, this is a bit ridiculous. But yeah, I think the fear is that as well. Because when you go out clubbing, again, it's just like, you know, have you seen me like dance in a certain way to for you to know that if for you to be attracted to me? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if a black guy did that, said all these things that we're saying, is that okay then?
Can you twerk for me? No, it's not okay. It's not okay. I mean,
I've never heard a black guy say that to me.
Well, that's it. Okay. That would be the issue number one. Why are you saying that? But then, okay, the equivalent is like, you know, guys that find out that you're Caribbean. Oh, I bet you can wine. Oh, yeah, let me see then. And it gets okay, because then you're fetishizing over the fact that I'm Caribbean. It gets so
difficult. Oh, my God, you're actually right. Mm-hmm. They do that. I'm not saying they. I'm saying people different. You know who I'm talking about. But you know when we went to Cancun? Yeah, it's a bit background. But you know when we went to Cancun? Do you remember those Canadian guys? And they were like, they came up to me and you were there. And they were like, oh, I just knew you're from the Caribbean because the way you move your waist. So I was like, yeah. But I did that as a compliment. I thought, yeah, of course I'm whining properly.
Yeah, no, I do remember. Oh, what happened to those guys, man? I still have one of them on my WhatsApp. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you had a bad experience. My guy was quite nice.
Yeah, I think your guy was nice, but this guy was a bit crazy. He was just literally like WhatsApp video call me randomly with his son. It was so weird. He was such a weird person.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he said that. And then I got that obviously in the, yeah, actually, no, I didn't. Yeah, so when you're on holiday, you get those people that identify that you're from the Caribbean, even, yeah, in the UK as well.
Yeah.
People do say that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, my God. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Do you think that having preferences or being able to filter down your type on a dating app to that level, so let's use like the Bumble or the Hinge level, is a good thing? Do you think that we should keep those filters? Do you think that we shouldn't keep the filters? You know, bearing in mind that in real life you can't filter down. So
it's a good question.
It applies to all filters, not just ethnic background, but all.
So I was just thinking about so many things when you said that.
My height. Yeah. Do you want to add a few on as well? Muscular type.
I think star sign should be added. I know it's on Bumble, but not on Hinge, I don't think. No, maybe it is. I don't think it is.
It's not on Hinge. No.
It's a tricky question. I do use the filters. But maybe it should be people are going to kill me. It should be something that you unlock when you pay more. Maybe it should be that, like pay more to actually unlock what ethnicity
you
want.
Why would you say that?
Exactly.
Why are you doing this to us?
I don't know. Because that's another thing, reason why I filter as well. There's a lot of white people on apps and I can't filter through to my type. That's the reason why I do it. It's because I'm not in a video. I have a type. So I'm going to keep flicking. My thumbs start to hurt. So I need to filter down to get them. So I'm for filters. But if they really had to say, you know, to stop the abuse or to stop, to, you know, make things equal, you have to pay out, I would get it. I would understand, basically.
Yeah, but that's what, but this is my point. My point is that you get less abuse when you have filters, because people can just filter out their type and then you never have to come across a racist that don't want you. Yes, you still will get the people that fetishize over you, and that's very annoying. But but you can't, like, the racist will just filter out their type and then you'll filter out your type and then you, everybody will just have a nice day.
True, fair enough.
But the issue is that you do become closed off. You don't, you know,
you
may not meet that special person because you're so fixated on your type or your preference that you don't meet someone who might be interesting for you. I mean, even like, you know, I've got a weird relationship with smokers in that I accept that some people just smoke, whether it's weed, whether it's cigarettes, people smoke, that's just a thing. I don't like it, I don't want to be around it, but I don't want to be as picky as to say that I don't date smokers. If you say you smoke, it's not a deal breaker for me, but it's not that great. But I appreciate that someone might be everything that I want, but they just might have this filthy habit that they can't kick, like many of my own habits I can't kick. Should I filter them out? Or should I take a chance and have tobacco smelling clothes?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you know when the apps have this like suggestion, oh, we think that this person will be great for you. I don't know if that's down to what you filtered as well. Like, I don't know if you would randomly have, I don't know if you randomly have other people from different ethnicity when they say, oh, we think those people are this person matched to you. But maybe they should do more of that from different ethnicities to but see.
I don't know if that works.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think there's proper. I think that's just like, I don't know what this is based on, to be honest, but if they did it properly, if that was literally like based on personality, what you typed in, all the questions that you typed in, then yeah, I wouldn't mind that, to be open to all races or to all ethnicities.
Or maybe also the algorithm as well, because you know when you swipe right to enough black people, then they only show you black people.
Yeah, I realised that as well.
Maybe they should like maybe not be so strict with their algorithm. But
that's true.
It does help to filter out the process. It makes it a lot quicker for you, I suppose.
I wonder if there's an app just based on personality, like, I don't know, like if there's an app that just you have, maybe, I don't know, instead of your face you have like a square or whatever, and is it literally based on personality, and then after a while it reveals that person's face. I don't know if I'm just making it up in my head, but it would be good to have those options, those types of apps available, if there are any. I don't know, but some people want to know, am I compatible on a personality level, and like, do I want that? And I think sometimes we're so fixated on image, you know, Instagram, and you know, these apps don't really help, to be quite frank, because people put 100 filters on them too. How many times, you know, some people, like I've spoken to loads of men about this, and they say, you know, some people look like, okay, this might be due to their type, they're like, oh, some people look like 100 shades lighter than they actually are, or 100 shades darker. And then when you see them, you're like, what's going on? Like, it's not who I thought you were. So I don't know, maybe there should be a filter control. Like an actual photo filter control. But I don't know, I'm not sure.
You know, I think you can go too far though, because the reality is, you know, meeting people in real life, we're basing on appearance. You know, you look at someone, you're attracted to them, and you walk over to them, and then you get to know them. And then, you know, I think that we're still at a stage where dating apps are just that, but just in a much more amplified way. So if we took away that completely and we just did the whole like personality thing, it's fine, but the image is still going to be a part of it. We're still going to look at that person eventually and decide if they're our type or not.
True.
Eventually. But it'll be interesting though. It'll be interesting to see if you can just like match with someone just based on their personality. And then
would you do that? Would you take a risk and say like they set your, say if it was like literally like Love is Blind, and would you ever go on Love is Blind? I don't think I've ever watched this.
Yeah, I would. You know, I'm up for Married at First Sight. I would just totally do that show. Okay. But actually, no, if one was casting for it, but I would do Married at First Sight, but I would do it without the cameras. Like, I like the idea of the process, but I just wouldn't want cameras following me and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but I just think, yeah, I'd love to do that. Some have like a scientist match me with someone. That'd be so good.
That'd be so good. That'll be so good. But you know, when I looked at Love is Blind Brazil, there were
Love
more...
is Blind Brazil.
Yeah, that's what I've been watching. I've been like addicted. I've finished it now.
You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that show existed.
I didn't know you was interested. yeah, so it's on Netflix. Why? Oh, Netflix.
Where? Oh.
Mm. Yes, look at it. I've watched the whole thing. But anyways, pardon?
Why Brazil?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know actually, because you would think that because they'll go to the UK next. And I've been waiting for the application. I'm messing up. But you would think they'll come to the UK after the USA, but I'm not sure. But do you want me to, not spoil it, but basically there are less marriages, yeah, in this one. And in my head, it made me realise that some of these people, I think, are good looking. And it made me realise that, yeah, obviously it's down to personality. And I don't know why I needed reminding of that. I don't know why, yeah, you know, personality doesn't rule. Well, it does to some extent. You have to live with them. And then, like, there's this couple that you would consider, you know, appealing to the eye, but it just wasn't, like, I thought that wasn't a good vibe, but it just didn't work. So that's, I just think the whole, I love Love is Blind because I just think the concept's just so great. Like, it's just based on personality. You have to get to know them. And then if they look good, that's a bonus, you know, right? So, but obviously they choose good looking people, don't they?
Mm. Yeah, well, in the original one, they didn't. Well, they did. They had some good looking people, then they had some like more average looking people. They did though, because I remember there was that one couple where the guy was like shorter than average, and then, you know, she didn't feel attracted to him, and you're right. You're right. It's down to personality, but I, you know, attraction is a big part of it as well. So that we can't really get away from that. You know, we do have eyes. So, What about, you know, like on Hinge, and they say they've got the top people that you have to pay to mess, not yeah, you have to pay for the roses to message them. That bit needs to go away. You know, that bit is actually very disrespectful. Like, why am I not in the top people?
But how do you know that you're not on the top people? How do you know?
Because I don't know, actually.
You don't know? Because one time I got a rose. I was thinking, why have I got a rose?
Yeah, I do get roses.
So maybe they have. I don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Unless everybody's given a rose. I don't think everybody's given a rose. I'm not sure.
No. Sometimes it says you got a rose.
That's yeah. Are you checking now?
I don't have it anymore. Delete it. No, that is true, actually. That is true. But still, I just feel like, you know, when you see those people, you're just like, oh, you're just so cliche. Like, go away. Remove your ego.
It's true. They are. Like, I used to think that they used to pay Hinge for that.
Yeah.
I want to be in the top. Like, I thought you, and in my head, I thought, you're not just like ridiculous anyway, because you probably paid to get there. Yeah. But yeah, I'd never paid them any mind. I mean, some of them are good looking. I'm thinking, yeah, you lot picked well, but other times I just think, yeah, you're just gonna have a bad personality. It was funny. I'm watching Ready to Love, and this girl comes, you know, you've watched it before, right? Yeah. And this woman comes on and goes, I don't go for good looking people anymore, I go for ugly people, because they will be the ones that will drink your bath water and treat you really well. I just thought to myself, is there a point where you get in life that you think, well, actually, I want somebody that looks not your type, not your usual type, because, or something that you considered not as attractive, mm-hmm. do you go for them naturally because you think they actually would treat you better? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's a interesting thing that she said. I just wasn't expecting to say that. Yeah, I'm going for someone that's ugly. I was like, okay.
That's so funny. Imagine.
Yeah.
So. Did it work?
Well, no, did she got booted off? No, she was in the top, on the bottom two. People didn't really take to her very well because she didn't know how to have a conversation. All she kept on talking about was corporate and her starting a business. She wasn't really talking about her social life, her hobbies, whatever. And again, she's quite attractive. I would say she's quite attractive. And all the guys, you know, they were like, yeah, she's good, but I need more. And that's when I'm realising, maybe it's an age thing because they were over 30. But, you know, I think when you're young, it is all about looks. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to live with this person.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I think obviously she's probably quite hurt and probably it doesn't allow people to, you know, see the true her because she has been hurt. And that's where the whole like early day ugly people comes from. Like that's the thing. I think when your filters are that narrow, I think you've got something to deal with. Like there's something here that you need to unpack, I think.
Really?
Yeah, because I think you get to a point where your filters are so heavily narrowed down that it's like you're just blocking yourself from something that could be good. And you
obviously you're fussy.
Protect yourself. Yeah, but I think, yeah, you can be over fussy as well, I think.
That's true.
I think I've met a few people as well that I think have been over fussy, I think, because they just they're not really ready to let someone in. So you're not willing to compromise. I think that can be a part of it as well. But yeah, but we've gone off on a really long tangent. Sorry. But yeah, I think, you know, to sum it up, it is hard out here. It's hard, you know, racism is a thing. You are going to get, unfortunately, there is lots of abuse. There's lots of people that don't really care about you on these dating apps. They're just here to get what they want. There's a lot of, you know, very selfish people on these apps. I think we're all selfish. We've all got selfish elements, of course, but some people are very rude with it as well. So just be safe. Just be safe and don't put up with the crap at all. I think that it is changing. Actually, one of the stats, this is a positive stat to end on, but one of the stats was saying that interracial relationships in the States had gone up and they felt it was because of the use of dating apps. So people are actually like kind of, you know, people are going outside of their comfort zone or they're meeting people. Or even, you know, for example, you could be a black woman or a black man who prefers to date black women or black men. And because of where you live, you don't really meet them. But because of dating app, you're able to kind of see who else is out there. So, like, I think dating apps can also make you realize that you are desired by people, you know, by people. You will find someone. There's always someone out there for you. There's someone out there for everyone. And that's one of the things that I think is good about dating apps. And that's one of the things that I like to promote for dating apps, that you, if you're going through a hard period where you're like, nobody wants me, nobody likes me, you'll find on a dating app that you'll always find someone that's for you. So
I don't know about for you, but you always find somebody that likes, is attracted to you. Yeah.
Well, for you, yeah, that's what I mean by for you. Yeah.
Because if that was the case, we would have been a happy home.
Okay, yes, but like, you know, surface level terms, you'll find someone for you that likes you. Yes.
Yes, that's true. But yeah, that's great. That's good. Yeah.
Do you think you'd do the podcast if you were not single?
Yeah. But maybe it won't be called the Dating Game Podcast. It'll be called...
You change it, but then you still have...
Dating. Boy and Girl Podcast. Pardon.
So you would change it. So then, but dating is still a part of people's lives, even if you're not dating, or it's been a part of your life, even if you're not dating currently. No?
Yeah, but I think, remember the reason why is because basically we were talking about our dating stories. That's why. Yeah. And I guess if you're in a relationship, you won't be talking about just dating, you'll be talking about your relationship story. So maybe it will be called my diaries. I really don't know, but I'm just saying, I think yes, we'll still pursue with the podcast, but it will be called something different.
Okay. I think also you end up in different places of your life as well. Like there's another podcast which talks about lots of sexual things, and one of the hosts just left, and she's in like quite a high profile relationship, and then they didn't say why she left, but they just put a message being out like she doesn't want to associate herself with sexual content anymore. And I reckon it's because she's in a relationship now with this high profile person.
Oh yeah, I do know who you're about. Yeah, I do, yeah. Mm-mm. And she left. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Each their own.
Mm. Cool. All right, guys. Yeah. Another week wrapped up. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Please make sure you follow us on Instagram at The Dating Game Podcast, on Twitter at Dating Game Pod, and use the hashtag The Dating Game Podcast to get involved in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. And we will see you next episode.
Thank you, guys. Bye.